Chapter 54, Text 50 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Sukam Vacha,
Sri Sukam Vacha,
Evam,
Evam,
Bhagavata,
Bhagavata,
Tanvi,
Tanvi,
Ramena,
Ramena,
Pratibodhita,
Pratibodhita,
Vaimanasyam,
परित्यज्य
मनो बुद्ध्या समादधे श्रीसुकं वाच एवं भगवता तन्वी रामेन प्रतिबोधिता वैमनस्यं परित्यज्य मनोबुद्ध्या समाददे श्रीसुकं वाच एवं भगवता तन्वी रामेन प्रतिबोधिता वैमनस्यं परित्यज्य मनोबुद्ध्या समाददे Sukadeva Goswami said, Evam, thus, Bhagavata, by the Supreme Lord, Tanvi, slender waisted Rukmini, Ramena, by Balarama, Pratibodhita, enlightened.
Vaimanasyam,
her depression,
Parityajya,
giving up,
Manaha,
her mind,
Buddhya,
by intelligence,
Samadhade,
composed,
Sri
Sukam Vacha, Evam Bhagavata Tanvi, रामेन प्रतिबोधिता वैमनस्यं परित्यज्य मनोबुद्ध्या समाददे ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड दस एनलाइटेंड बाय लॉर्ड बलराम स्लेंडर रुक्मिणी फॉरगॉट हर डिप्रेशन and steadied her mind by spiritual intelligence. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus enlightened by Lord Balarama, slender Rukmini forgot her depression and steadied her mind by spiritual intelligence.
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं मुखां करोति वचलं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
हरे कृष्ण When I just completed my master's in management, this was in somewhere in 1997. In 1998, I joined a company called Coopers & Lybrand, which is today PricewaterhouseCoopers. The very second day of my assignment, fresh out of college, okay, after an MBA degree, the assignment which I was given was that 2 days after that, after I joined, 2 days after I was told this, I was supposed to go and meet the CEO, the Chief Executive Officer of a company called SR Power. Many of you must have heard SR, Shashi Ruya company. So I was supposed to go and then talk to him, and then I was supposed to advise him on how to run the power sector in his company. Okay, fresh out of college, right? The CEO of this company had more than 30 years experience in power sector, and he was running his company very nicely. Okay. But then the senior director in my company told me, no, you go ahead and go and advise this gentleman. Okay. Share something on how, you know, India's power industry is, and then tell him how information technology can help him make his company more profitable. Okay. So you can imagine what I felt on that day. Okay. Fresh out of college, talking to people, a person who is so senior. So that incident I never forgot in my life. Okay. Because it was the most bewildering moment for me. Okay. But even more bewildering than that is sitting here today and doing Bhagavatam class in front of all my seniors here. Okay. The only qualification that I have to open my mouth is that I have to obey the instruction of Krishna Gaja Prabhu and Anirudh Prabhu, who instructed me to do this. Okay. So my apologies that I'm sitting here. Please bear with me today. Also, I hope that I don't sound like a politician, because politicians always speak the right thing. The only thing is that they don't follow it. Okay. So and if at all I make a fool of myself on the Vyasasan today, then I'll be very happy at the end of the day, because that is my constitutional position. Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, you should be situated in your constitutional position. So I'll be nicely situated there. Okay. So we are talking about Srimad Bhagavatam, the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini from the 10th canto. Now thus far what has happened is that Lord Krishna, Rukmini Devi wanted to marry Lord Krishna. She sent the Brahmana. Okay. Her marriage was to be solemnized with Shishupal, okay, as per the wishes of Rukmi, the brother of Rukmini Devi. And then Lord Krishna kidnaps her just at the nick of time, and then he takes her in the chariot. Obviously, Rukmi is not very happy about it, neither is anyone else there on his side. So kings like Jarasandha, etc., very powerful people, they said, "We'll support you, don't worry. We'll fight Krishna and we'll bring back Rukmini." So the moment they decide that, Lord Balaram, who is always eternally in the service of Lord Krishna, he says that, "You go ahead, I'll handle these people." Okay. So then Lord Balaram goes and fights with Jarasandha, and obviously he defeats them. Okay. And then though the entire army of Jarasandha, etc., they are defeated, one person does not accept defeat. Who is that?
Rukmini.
Rukmi is not. He is saying that, "No, I'll go and fight with Krishna now. Okay, I have not given up." So he goes and fights with Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna obviously destroys all his weapons. Okay, and ties him up. And just as when Lord Krishna wants to kill Rukmi, at that time, who starts lamenting?
Rukmi
starts lamenting. Okay. He says, "Please don't kill him. Give him some other milder punishment." Okay. So Lord Krishna just shaves off Rukmi's hair and his moustache in a peculiar way. Okay. And then that's where we are right now. And then in the meantime, just as Rukmini Devi is lamenting, who arrives in the scene?
Balaram.
Lord Balaram arrives in the scene. And Lord Balaram knows the condition of Rukmini. He knows the state of her mind. And Lord Balaram, first of all, gives some instructions to Krishna, apparently, saying that why should we do it to your relative? Okay. Now, obviously, there is a pun intended in this, because unless Rukmini Devi belongs to Lord Krishna, how come Rukmi becomes his relative? So, Lord Balaram is very wisely choosing his words. Not only that, he then starts instructing Rukmini Devi about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Right? He in the earlier verses, he talks so many things. Very wonderful philosophy. He talks to Rukmini Devi. What is the objective of Lord Balaram in doing that? It is to steady the mind of Rukmini Devi. Okay. So Lord Balaram is giving a lot of philosophical perspective to Srimati Rukmini Devi to bring her out of her grief. Now, this grief, where is it originating from? It is originating from bondage to familial affection. Okay. Though she is verily with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also Lord Balaram is standing in front of her, still there is some lamentation within the heart. Oh, Rukmi is my brother at the end of the day, whatever it may be, right? So that is the state of who? That is the state of the goddess of fortune. That even she is unable to momentarily overcome her bondage to family affection. Okay. So, Lord Balaram is speaking a lot of philosophy. So that Krishna conscious philosophy. So we are right now studying the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in our Bhakti Vaibhav class under Keshav Prabhu. There was a very interesting verse which we did. It was a key memory verse. So I can confidently say that. The verse ends with, Yah karna nadim purushasya yataha bhava pradam geharatim chinatti. Okay. Now what does it mean? It says, Yah karna nadim, which means the philosophy. Yah means it's referring to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Yah karna nadim. Karna nadim means the holes of one's ears. Purushasya means person. Okay. And yataha means entering. So, this Krishna conscious philosophy, if it enters through the holes of one's ears for any person, then bhavapradam geharatim chinatti. Geharatim means family affection. And bhavapradam means that which keeps us bound in the cycle of birth and death. And chinatti means cut off. So therefore, the essence of this verse is that if one hears continuous Krishna conscious philosophy, then gradually his bondage to familial affection is cut off. Okay. You have to be very careful in understanding this, because it doesn't say familial affection will be cut off. It says bondage to familial affection will be cut off. Okay. Because affection is the essence of our movement. Without affection and love, there is no point in Krishna consciousness. Right? We are but a movement of love and affection. But the moment that love and affection causes bondage to matter, then that is the problem. So that is what this verse is. So here, Lord Balaram is sensing that Rukmini Devi is having this kind of a problem. Obviously, it's a pastime. Goddess of fortune need not be bewildered like that. But the point for us is that even if Goddess of fortune can be bewildered by such material affection and bondage, then what to speak of us? So Lord Balaram, that's the context of this verse. Okay, where it says that, thus enlightened by Lord Balarama, slender Rukmini forgot her depression and steadied her mind by spiritual intelligence. Okay. Therefore, it is mentioned here that the remedy for this problem of the mind is spiritual intelligence. Therefore, it becomes imperative to understand what is this spiritual intelligence. Okay. So, I found an interesting definition somewhere. It says that spiritual intelligence is that intelligence by which we are able to confidently cut off all other options of happiness other than complete surrender to Lord Krishna. Confidently we are able to cut off all other ways of happiness. Okay, let me be happy by this, let me be happy by that. And then eventually we come to the point that no, nothing else is going to give me happiness, but it's only surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So that realization, that intelligence is called as spiritual intelligence. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that there are a lot of extreme cases which are given of how people have developed this spiritual intelligence. Okay, there are a lot of extreme situations which are given. Some extreme situations which we have seen is, for example, Maharaj Parikshit in the womb of Uttara, Brahmastra coming in. Okay, ask any pregnant woman what this is and she can tell us. Okay, what kind of misery this is. Okay, she knows that something is going to kill the child in the womb. So, extreme situation. Another extreme situation is Maharani Kunti. Vipada Shanto Taha Shatva Tatra Tatra Jagadguru. Again and again,
miseries in her life, repeatedly coming
to haunt her. That's an extreme case. Another extreme case which we recently studied in third canto was Vidura. From the opulence of a palace, from his position, he was thrown out on the street. Duryodhan told him, please get out of the palace. So, in a moment, he was outside of the palace, on the streets. So, these are extreme cases which are given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Why they are given? They are given so that conditioned souls, okay, like myself, I have a tendency to justify. No, Srimad Bhagavatam is wonderful and we should all surrender, but in my case it's slightly different. So this is the kind of rationalization. Okay. So therefore extreme cases are given so that, you know, our case can always be a subset of that case. Like that. Okay. So if this spiritual intelligence has to be maintained, then why do we lose this spiritual intelligence? That is the next question. So it is said that one of the chief causes of we losing our spiritual intelligence or getting covered, our spiritual intelligence getting covered, is the mind. Okay, again, that's what this verse is talking about. The mind and spiritual intelligence are given here. Okay, there are two other factors also. One is the body and one is the false ego. They can also bewilder the intelligence. Now, it is said that in the conditioned state, the body needs sustenance. The false ego needs respect and admiration. And the mind needs engagement based upon its propensity. Okay. So today we'll spend some time talking about this mind. Okay. And which covers our spiritual intelligence in the conditioned state. Now in this context, I would like to take the example of Maharaj Chitraketu. Now, Maharaj Chitraketu was an ideal king. He was very youthful. It's been described in Srimad Bhagavatam that he was very youthful. He was very wealthy also. He was very powerful. Now, everyone wants such a husband today, right? In Kali Yuga. Very wealthy, very youthful and very powerful also. And very loving also on top of that. Okay, so who doesn't want such a husband? Okay. And he had 10 million wives. Since it is Srimad Bhagavatam class, I am confidently saying that he had 10 million wives. If it was a forum for relatively newer people, then we can't say that. Because they'll think, oh, it's mythology. Not possible. One wife itself is difficult. What to speak of 10 million wives? Okay. So but Bhagavatam class, we can get away by saying that. So he had 10 million wives. Also, he was so great that he was leading from the front. He was living by example. It is said, Vishnor Aradhyate Pantha. That is a characteristic of a great leader. Vishnor Aradhyate. He is doing Aradhana of Vishnu. He is always worshipping Vishnu. A great leader is one who always worships Vishnu. Vishnor Aradhyate Pantha. Pantha means the head of the society. So if the head of the society is worshipping Vishnu, then automatically the subjects will get some kind of a direction. Today the problems in Kali Yuga is simply because the head is worshipping Maya. Therefore, the subjects are not having any direction. Whereas Maharaj Chitraketu was not like that. Okay. So obviously, since the head was of that kind of attitude he had, that kind of a consciousness he had, Mother Earth was brilliantly cooperating with him and producing all kinds of opulence. Okay. There was no lack of rainfall. There was no prime minister who was wondering what to do at that time. Okay. So, Mother Earth was producing quite a lot. So, what was happening? Earlier we said that the body needs sustenance. So, obviously there was enough for sustenance of the subjects. The mind needs activities according to propensity. So, Maharaj Chitraketu was ideally instituting the Varanashrama Dharma. Therefore, everyone had appropriate activities according to their propensity. So, the body was good, the mind of the subjects was also good, and obviously, he was always giving in charity and appreciating his subjects and their achievements and their efforts. So, therefore, the subjects also were very happy. So, that took care of the false ego. Okay. So, he was very nicely managing his subjects in Krishna consciousness. But He had a own problem with his own mind. His own mind was troubling him, despite everything being ideal. His own mind was troubling him, and it was troubling him immensely. Okay. The gravity of how much his mind was disturbed is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, the learning for us from that is that if with all this opulence, Maharaj Chitraketu's mind was filled with turbulence, then certainly with even a fraction of that opulence for which we all are working so hard in our office, in our business, certainly we know that we cannot get the steadiness of mind with that. So that is one learning which comes out. Let's look at the case of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu controlled the three planetary systems. Complete control of everything. Everybody afraid. Okay. Complete control of everything, but his own son was out of his control. Prahlad Maharaj. Right? So, in this material world, we are very happy if things go the way we want. Our mind is very happy if everything falls in place according to the wishes and directions of our mind. But it's a utopian thought. It's a utopian thought because the only person for whom everything works or is intended to work according to his desire is Lord Krishna himself. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. He is sarvaloka maheshwaram, therefore it is possible for him. Okay. But then when we understand this, our mind understands this, that he is sarvaloka maheshwaram and it is only possible for him, then nyatva mam shantim richati. Only then can our own minds be peaceful. So here we see that though Maharaj Chitraketu had all this opulence, his mind was disturbed because he did not have a son. By some chance or by the desire of Lord, okay, that's a better perspective, none of the 10 million wives that he had, okay, was able to produce a child. They were all barren. Okay. So he wanted a son for two reasons. One is he wanted to hand over his legacy so that someone can control, can direct after his departure. And also from the point of view of Pindadan, which is of satisfying the ancestors, of delivering the ancestors. So his motives, his objectives of having a son were actually Vedic. It was actually pious. But still, his mind was disturbed. So we have to understand from this that sometimes though our intentions will be very nice, our mood, our activities will come from a pious perspective, but still, whatever is not to be, will not to be. That is possible in this material world. And that can create havoc within our minds. So, even if the whole cosmic manifestation is under our control, if our mind is not within our control, then we will never be happy. In the Manusmriti, there is an interesting verse which says, Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayo bandaya bandaya vishayo sango muktyai nirvishayam manah. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayo. The mind itself is the cause of bondage, and the mind itself is the cause of liberation also. The mind itself is the cause of bondage because of its attachment to sense objects, and the mind itself, when detached from these sense objects, becomes the cause of liberation. So, once one of the Maharajas in ISKCON, when he was lecturing, he said that the mind desperately looks for some reason to be miserable, though everything is in place. Okay. And the example was given that even if you are traveling in a first class AC compartment, okay, of a train or the business class of a flight, okay, sometimes the mind keeps fidgeting with something, some handle here, something there, some seat here, some tray here, like when we are flying. And then we'll find everything is perfect, and then we'll find that the footrest is not kept at a particular angle. So the mind will say, no, it's not okay, you know, just keep tapping it up and down and somehow try to be, you know, comfortable like that. So the mind is looking for some reason, something, some knob is not proper. The mind will be going there. So the mind is chanchal like this. Another example which personally I face is when we sit, like many times we have feast, you know, in the temple. There are 40 offerings, 50 offerings also, especially during festivals. Okay. So when we are sitting in the queue, everything is being served. So 35 offerings have been served already. Okay. And everything is there in the plate. But still, the mind is saying, kuch aur hai kya? Is there anything else which I am not getting? Somebody, you know, just passes through and serves something which is not in the plate. Though you know you can't eat that much. But still, you know, no, I am missing out on something. Mind says, you missed out. You take it. So after some time you call, Prabhuji, it's 1 minute. That one. That one dish. Like that. Okay. Though the plate is full. So the mind is like that. It's searching for something. Despite all opulence. So when our desire is strong, okay, for whatever desires that the mind gives, in terms of the material desires I'm talking about. So when we try to fulfill these desires, and our desire is very strong to fulfill this, then Lord Krishna, sarvasya chaham vidhi sannivishto, inside as Paramatma, he tries to actually fulfill these desires of the mind. Okay, because he knows our mind is somewhere else. Just like the example of Archimedes. Archimedes was always meditating on why things float. So always his mind was meditating. So Paramatma within his heart, even in the bathtub, he found a solution. Eureka, eureka, he started jumping. He was not even wearing his clothes and he was running on the road like a madman. Okay. So that is the state of the mind. That is the risk of material desires. So the solution, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, is Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakta Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru. That means, understand, essence of that is understand that you are fool number one. Therefore, you can never be happy by continuously satisfying the desires of the mind. So, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that the conditioned souls must try to become Stita Prajna or Stita Dhira. Stita Dhira means one who can control, one who is firmly situated, sober person. Now, how to do it? Narad Muni is explaining the only way possible is Savai Manak Krishna Padara Vindayor. Only by the soul has to understand and must be convinced that I am the servant of Krishna and I am not the enjoyer. Thus, by serving everyone in this mood that I am servant of servant, only then the mind can be peaceful and we can be situated in our constitutional position. Okay? And we should know at all points in time that by doing this, am I pleasing Krishna or am I not pleasing Krishna? If we end up displeasing Krishna, then the mind will end up displeasing us. So such a person is completely satisfied, who has oriented his mind in the service of Lord Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchyate. Okay. Otherwise, if we go on fulfilling the material desires of the mind, then our situation will be like Harsha Shoka. Harsha Shoka was the son of Maharaj Chitraketu. Harsha Shoka. So Harsha Shoka, Harsha means happiness and Shoka means distress. Fleeting happiness and distress. It will keep on coming. Like Sitoshna Sukha Dukha Daha. In Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned like that. So it will be Harsha Shoka. So this mind is Chanchala. Chanchala ye mana Krishna. Arjuna is telling in Bhagavad Gita. Now how is this Chanchala mana to be subdued? And who is it that can give direction to this Chanchala mana? That is the question. Next question. According to the Shastras, it is in this context that the instructions of a pure devotee come in picture. How to subdue the Chanchala mind. Okay. The instructions of a pure devotee coupled up with our own conviction and desire to dovetail our life with those instructions is the solution for the Chanchala Manah, the fluctuating mind. For example, Srimad Bhagavatam gives so many instances. Srila Vyasadeva himself, who is the literary incarnation, he also had Chanchala Manah. Even after compiling all the Vedas, even after compiling the summum bonum of the Vedas in the Vedanta Sutra, still his mind was not satisfied. Somewhere, some gap. And at that time, who comes? Narad Muni comes there as the spiritual master. And then Narad Muni gives him direction. He says that though you have given all these things, how to keep the body happy, how to keep the mind happy, and you know, how to you have given all the essentials of Varanashrama Dharma, how to live nicely in this material world,
and gradually move up, but then you have still missed the point. You have not given the essence of the Shastras, which is surrendering to the lotus feet of Krishna. You have not, the mood of Krishna Prema does not come out of these scriptures. Therefore, give Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Vedavyas got this instruction, his mind was completely peaceful. Okay. There was no chanchala after that. Okay. So, the nature of the spiritual master is to always arrive at the right time and give the right message to the right person and to the extent of the right dosage which that person can absorb. This we have seen. Even in our personal lives, many of us will have these realizations. Similarly, in the United States, when Srila Prabhupada went, at that time, okay, the culture was that don't listen, don't trust anyone above the age of 30. That was the culture. And at such times, when this was the mood prevalent in society, Srila Prabhupada went in Jaladutta. Okay. And when Srila Prabhupada went and he landed in New York, Srila Prabhupada, as part of his pastime, displayed some kind of a confusion in his mind. It was a pastime of Srila Prabhupada. So we should not say that Prabhupada is confused. But he said words by which apparently we can think that yes, Srila Prabhupada was bewildered. Okay. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to teach us a lesson. That's why he said these words. He said, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm going to do here. Now apparently these are the statements of a person whose man is chanchal. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. Okay. But why did Srila Prabhupada utter these words? Srila Prabhupada uttered these words because he wanted to glorify the instructions of his Guru Maharaj. He wanted to teach us that. That's why he did that. He said that I don't know anything, but it is my instruction of my Guru Maharaj that I have come here. Okay. So the instructions of Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada simply executed that, and we see the success of ISKCON today. Right. So therefore, these are examples where Guru Maharaj, where a pure devotee comes and gives instructions, and by which we get some kind of a direction in life. So in case of Maharaj Chitraketu also, when he was lamenting, Angira Muni arrived at the right time and gave him the right instructions. Angira Muni told Maharaj Chitraketu, after hearing so much of lamentation from him, can you not accept it as the will of the Lord? It's the will of the Lord that you don't have a son. Please accept it. Okay. So, when the mind is distressed, it is said that when the mind is distressed, if we allow the Lord to move the mind to execute His own will, then we can become very peaceful. Otherwise, if we try to artificially control the mind, okay, and kind of violate the will of the Lord, then obviously the results are going to be different. Even in the case of Arjuna, Arjuna also was standing in the battle of Kurukshetra and he was also saying, Chanchalaye Manakrishna. I am not able to control the mind, though I can control the wind. So, Lord Krishna said, as Guru, O Partha, do not fall into this impotence. Okay. So, there also we see this example. So many examples when Guru Maharaj is arriving at the right time and giving the right instructions. So when we see this verse, here also Rukmini is displaying those symptoms of bewilderment. Where there is some attachment to Rukmi. After all, he is my brother. So, who is arriving? Lord Balaram. Who is Lord Balaram? Lord Balaram is none other than Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is the Guru. Right? He is a Chaitanya Guru. He is a Guru. Okay. So Guru is coming at the right time, even for the goddess of fortune, when her mind is chanchala, and then he is giving her instructions before this verse, and thus her mind is becoming steadied by spiritual intelligence because of this philosophy. So Maharaj Chitraketu had all these wonderful qualities, but his mind was weak. So as long as a person is on the mental platform, despite all wonderful qualities that such a person may possess. We did discuss earlier the qualities of Maharaj Chitraketu, but he was on the mental platform. So despite all wonderful qualities, still it is said that the person resembles a prostitute whose mind is going at 10 different places. Just like a prostitute seeks pleasure in different objects of satisfaction every day. Just like the mind is also avyavasayatmika buddhi. It is seeking pleasure in so many different. Bahushaka hi anantascha. Bahushaka, many branched. It is trying to take shelter here and there. If we take the history of Kunti Maharani, when we study Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Kunti Maharani is referred to as Sati. Okay. Sati means what? Sati means chaste. Okay. And chaste means what? Chaste means there is only one master. A person who has only one master and is totally devoted to that person is called as chaste. Okay. But what is the condition of conditioned souls? Conditioned souls have many reference points. Okay. Many lords, like a prostitute. Many lords. What are some of the lords of conditioned souls? Lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, and so on and so forth. So the mind is many branches. So we serve all these desires of ours. The mind tells us, go ahead and serve these desires. But we find that the more we serve these desires, the more these desires exploit us. In fact, it is said that if we keep on serving these desires, in our regular service, we get what is called as voluntary retirement, otherwise compulsory retirement. But in this service of these desires of the mind, there is no retirement. Okay, and there is no retirement benefit also. So, by chance, even if we fail these desires one day, then these desires create havoc in the mind. But if we channelize these desires in the service of Krishna, even once, then though we may forget that, Lord Krishna does not forget that. That is how the whole philosophy of Agyata Sukriti comes in picture, of a previous lifetime. So even we have forgotten how we have served Krishna, but he still remembers. And then he puts us properly in the association of devotees in the next lifetime. Okay. So that's the benefit of serving Krishna as against serving these temporary material desires. So, the mercy of Lord Krishna comes out very well in this. In fact, again, in the third canto, we studied another key memory verse, which I have an opportunity to quote now. The verse says, Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam. Jigam Saya Payayad Api Asadvi. Nebe Gatim Dhatri Uchitam Tato Anyam. Kam Va Dayalum Sharanam Rajam. The verse says, that this Lord Krishna, who can be a better person for us to surrender to? Because this Lord Krishna gave the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, who was actually unfaithful to Lord Krishna and who smeared poison in her breast to be sucked by the Lord. So even to such a person, the Lord showed mercy. Okay? So therefore, even a small inkling, if we show that we want to orient our mind towards Lord Krishna, we can imagine what kind of benefits will come out of that. But then if we go on serving our body, then this body itself and the mind itself becomes the cause of Harsha Shoka for us. There was a case of an old man in a hospital who was having a very peculiar problem. His problem was that he was having continuous hiccups. Like that. And hiccups went on for so long that he had to be admitted to hospital. And in the hospital also. Can you imagine the situation? So painful. So irritating also on top of that. If there was some other disease also, we can, it's a challenging disease. We can say, oh, I have cancer. But no, just hiccups. You cannot even talk. The moment you say, I have cancer, it'll go. So this was the situation of that person. So when one of the devotees was talking to this person, he was saying, once upon a time, I was very healthy. Pehalwan type. Pehalwan in Hindi means bodybuilder, like that. Okay. Very healthy. I was very handsome, very youthful. He said that my ancestors had given me some property. And with these two limbs, I have toiled and made that land from stone into fertile soil. Okay. And today, the whole family is having the benefits of that. So, at that time, my opulence, my physical attributes, everything was wonderful. Okay. So whatever I was telling my body was cooperating. Limbs, push the plow. Then limbs were pushing the plow. Okay. Legs, do this. It was doing that. And seeing my physical attributes, I was even able to attract the opposite sex. right? But the same body today is there. I don't want it, still it is controlling. So whatever earlier was in my control and gave me pleasure, today exactly opposite. That same body is the cause of my misery. So therefore, if the mind is not oriented towards the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, the same mind and the same body will give us trouble later on in life. Prahlad Maharaj said, catch hold of that which is eternal or achyuta, the infallible one. Always catch hold of the feet of that person who is infallible and who never fails in reciprocating. Okay? Else, we are just trying to make something which is asat into sat. Something which is temporary, we are trying to make it permanent by our artificial endeavor, and which is not going to be. So, all the conditioned souls are like Maharaj Chitraketu with our own Harshashokas. Okay. Chanting 16 rounds, following 4 regulative principles, etc., etc. Everything is in place, but there is always that but inside the mind. There is but some desire is there, which is definitely not in line with Krishna's plan. We say that I know very well that this, I know the philosophy, I know that this body is meant for Krishna, that I should dedicate my life for Krishna and serve the devotees, etc., etc. But this one problem is there in my life, and I promise you that after this but problem is solved, then Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. So that is the nature of the mind. The more happiness that goes into fulfilling the expectations of the mind, exponentially larger is the misery which comes when that object is taken away from us. So, if our mind is under our control, then the senses are also under our control. And that such a person is called as Jitendriya Prabhu. Jitendriya. Because the mind knows that the soul is servant of Krishna. Now, while this is knowledge, this knowledge for some people becomes realization. Now, how this knowledge becomes realization? There are two cases. If we know the case of Bilwa Mangal Thakur, Bilwa Mangal Thakur was, his mind was attached to a prostitute. Okay. Now, Bilwa Mangal Thakur was not convinced about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, though many people told him, till he verily heard this from the object of his mind and senses. So the prostitute himself told him, what do you want to do with this body? So the instructions of the object of his senses is the highest knock on the head of a person. Okay, to get detachment from that very object itself. So in the case of Maharaj Chitraketu also we see the same thing happening. Harshashoka himself, the son, is telling, why are you so attached to me? So the object of the senses is instructing the soul. And then this knowledge that one should surrender to Krishna then becomes realization. So therefore, once this happens, then we immediately give up those unnecessary desires which are not conducive for Krishna consciousness. So in conclusion, we can say that we should not make our mind put us in this Harshashoka mode. Okay? And we have to purify it with spiritual intelligence. We cannot rationalize, like many people rationalize and say that, oh no, it's okay, I mean, happiness and distress is fine. Harsha and Shoka is absolutely fine. Because what happens is, when we realize that happiness which has come out of distress, then that happiness is even more happy. Many people say this, right? That fine, I mean, you know I was miserable, but then that now I am very happy. And feeling that I was so miserable makes me even more happier. That how much of misery I have gone through to achieve this material objective. Okay. So in one of the lectures I heard, we know this moron jokes, right? You know what's a moron? Moron is a person of lesser intelligence. So there are moron jokes. So the question was, why was the moron banging his head against the wall forcefully? Repeatedly this moron was banging his head against the wall forcefully. The question is, why he was banging his head? Anyone knows why he was banging his head? The moron says that it gave me immense happiness when I stopped banging my head against the wall. So that is the nature of this logic. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? I hope there are no questions. Or any comments? I hope it's a simpler one, Mataji. Please be merciful on me. This reference, I can't tell you the exact shloka or whatever, but definitely, you know, the reference has been, when I was studying Nectar of Devotion as a part of my Bhakti Shastri, I came across this verse, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate, and I started hearing a lot of lectures within ISKCON on this particular verse, and as a part of the lecture, then somebody defined it like this, one of the ISKCON leaders. That is the reference. श्रीला प्रभुपाद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय दाय गौर प्रेमानंद की